Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
So welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're talking about the kingdom of God, and we're going to be talking about Hebrews, and we're going to go through the whole book eventually. It's going to take a little while if we're only going to do 3 verses an hour or 4 or 5 verses an hour, but it'll go along a lot quicker. But you have to set a foundation. When I built homes for a living for many years, we would be out there working and setting the foundation, and then all of a sudden, the day that you set the walls up would come. And of course you put up the walls and you put up the trusses, and then you've got to get the sheathing on. And so in one day they would see all those outside walls go up and the sheathing go on. They said, well, you got a lot done today. But we had been there for a week already or more laying the foundation. So it's very important to lay the foundation of anything that you're doing. And so you cannot understand Hebrews if you are not going to lay the foundations of Christ and understand what Christ came to tell us to do. And that it's very important that we do them. And we will not do them perfect, so we will need grace. But we need to be following in the ways that He said to go. Because if you're going the opposite direction, and you tell me that you believe in Jesus, and you say you're following Him, but you're going in the opposite direction, I don't think you understand who Jesus is, and I don't think you do believe in Jesus. And if you're comfortable in going in the opposite direction, then I don't believe you have the same Comforter or Holy Spirit that Christ sent. And that you're actually under a strong delusion, and you're actually going the opposite way of Christ. And therefore, when you preach your gospel, you're actually the Antichrist. That's right. You're the Antichrist, and you're serving. When you tithe to a minister that has led people away from the ways of Christ, you're tithing to the Antichrist. That's right. You know, you may end up with a big screen TV in a really comfortable church that will really make you feel good, but you're actually going against Christ and serving His enemies. I mean, if you were the devil, where do you think you could do the most damage to anybody? You do it by deceiving them into thinking they're following Christ, and they're actually going away from Christ. They're going in the opposite direction of Christ. And that's what people are doing every day. And they think they're serving Christ, and they're actually serving Satan. And they say, sometimes they say Jesus, and sometimes they say Yeshua, and sometimes they say Yahweh, and sometimes they say Jehovah. And sometimes they use this calendar, and sometimes they use that calendar. But they're not following in the ways of Christ, because they haven't come to serve. They haven't come to forgive. They haven't come to tend to the weightier matters of law, judgment, and mercy, and faith. They come to feel good, to fellowship, and party, and have a good time. They're here for the party. They're not here for righteousness. They're not here for the service of Christ. And they need to repent. They need to turn around. They need to go the other way. And if I don't rebuke them in this, then I don't serve the Father. And I intend to serve the Father, so plan on getting rebuked. Verse 4. Being made so much better than the angels, He hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. So did Jesus get a different name? Was He born with the name Steve and then He got the name Jesus? Or was He given the name Yeshua and then given the name Jesus? Or His name have nothing to do with the letters that you pronounce in a nomenclature so you know what to put on Jesus' ID card? Name, the word name there is translated, you know, name over almost 200 times. Sometimes they translate it called. So it's almost always translated name. You know, the Greek word is onoma. That's what it is. But what does it mean? Does it mean your name, the way you spell it? It means your identity. I mean, He was just talking in the previous verses about the image of His person, the character of His person. The character is the Greek word. But they translated it into image. Why didn't they say the character of his person? Well, they just chose not to. For whatever reason, it doesn't matter. But we understand now what the author really meant. This idea of proper name, the name is used for everything. This onuma. Onuma. It's used for everything which the name covers. Everything. The thought or feeling of which is aroused in the mind by mentioning, hearing, remembering the name. For one's rank, authority, interests, pleasures, commands, excellence, deeds, purposes. It doesn't just mean the letters and pronunciation. What is the nature and interest and pleasure of Christ? To serve. To serve the Father by serving you. Because God so loved the world, He gave His Son, and His Son was willing to give His life for His Father, so that ye might be saved. Are you willing to give your life for your brother, that you might be saved, that he might be saved, that who might be saved? You tell me, what are you here for? Are you here for the party? Or did you come together to serve one another? Because if you come together to serve one another, expect Christ to serve you, to be there and hear your prayers. If you come there to be served, if you come for the party, expect Christ not to hear. If you are still coveting your neighbor's goods, you're still praying to men who call themselves benefactors, if you're still electing Sauls and rejecting God, the Bible tells you, I will not hear you in that day. Go cry out, and we'll talk about that in Hebrews, because that comes up. For unto which of the angels, now this word angels, we should look at that word angels. What is that? I mean, they use this, you're going to see this over and over again in Hebrews. Angelos is the word that we see there in the Greek. It's translated angels about 179 times, but it's also translated a few times, about seven times, messenger. Messenger, that's what it means. Messenger, envoy, one who is sent. So when we say angels, we think they're talking about somebody with wings, I guess, and long hair, and a big sword, and, you know, like Michael, you know, and whatever. But it means messenger. So when they're talking about for unto which of the messengers said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee, and again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, is that the word aeon or cosmos, or what is that? That's actually oikoumene, and we'll look at that word later. He saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. Worship him. What does that word worship? It means kiss the hand, serve, bow down. Let me help you. That's what worship is. Let me do what you want done. You know, give me a task. That's what it means to worship. It doesn't mean think a thought. God's not insecure. He doesn't need your love so that he feels secure and appreciated. He needs you to want to do the will of the Father, because the will of the Father leads to life. See, if you go down to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 3, we see, For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath. If they shall enter into my rest, what does that mean, my rest? Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Now, what's he talking about here again? The works were finished from the foundation of the world? Foundation, there's, you know, if you go to chapter 1, verse 10, which we will do, we will see foundation of the earth. But here we see foundation of the world. What world is that? Well, that's that word, constitutional order and system of government. It comes from the word chemizo, which means to care for and take care of and provide for. And of course, Christ preached a government. There's the foundation of his constitutional order and system of government, where you take care of one another through faith, hope, and charity in the perfect law of liberty. But there is also and this is more often what the word is referring to, the constitutional order and system of government, the harmonious arrangement or constitutional order or system, government, that provides for the needs of the people through men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority. Two kinds of government. That's all there is in the whole world. Two kinds of government. Those that operate by faith, hope, and charity, that's one form, and those that operate by force. At the time of John the Baptist, most of them operated by force. At our time, most of them operate by force. The church established by Christ still operates by faith, hope, and charity. Any church that does not operate by faith, hope, and charity is not His holy church. We're not His holy church. We strive to be His holy church. We seek to be His holy church. There's no way we could say we are it. But I can tell you that anyone who is not striving to be the benefactors who exercise who don't exercise authority but exercise faith, hope, and charity, any church that's not operating that way exclusively and leading people to a form of government that exclusively operates that way is not His holy church. I don't care what they do. They're not following Christ. They're not even Christians. If they're crowning men over other men, instead of crowning every man king in his own house, then they're not His holy church. You know, I don't have to point names out or point fingers at anybody. That's just it. If you're not doing what Christ said, then you're not followers of Christ. That simple. From the foundation of the world, the foundation of His world, or the foundation of Cain's world. Hebrews 9:26, we see, "For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world." We see that same phrase, foundation of the world. "But now, once the end of the world..." Wait a minute. Did the foundation of the world and the end of the world, is this the same word, world? No, it's not. I'll give you the heads up. In Hebrews 9:26, they have two completely different words translated world. Foundation of the world is foundation of that constitutional order and system of government. But now the end of the world is the word age. Aeon. But now, once in the end of the age, hath He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. And remember, earlier, He was talking about the last days in the world. What world? Age. So when once we understand that this is the same Hebrews that we're talking about, that Christ showed and represented the last days of an age, now we know that in 9:26 He's talking about the last days of an age. But He's talking, often have suffered since the foundation of the constitutional order and system of government, such as Rome and Herod, and which goes all the way back to Saul, when we rejected God, and through the foundation of that rejection created a new world, a new constitutional order and system, where we became subject to men. And Christ was now ending that age so that now we could be subject to God, and He called that government the kingdom of God. Because the kingdom of God is where you have the right to be ruled by God, not by Caesar. Because these are the men that say there is another king and do contrary to the decrees of Caesar. Not because they disobeyed Caesar, because they didn't have to obey Caesar, because they had another king, whose kingdom was not of Caesar's world. Wow! That's what He meant when He said, "My kingdom's not of this world." Who'd He say it to? Pontius Pilate. He said to Pontius Pilate, "My kingdom's not of this world." And the word He used is cosmos. Constitutional order and system of government. It's just like Jesus saying, "My kingdom's not of your constitutional order and system of government. You don't have no jurisdiction to judge me as king." And He says, "Well, are you a king?" And Jesus said, "Thou sayest I'm a king. You know I'm a king. You've already said it." He didn't say, "I never said it." No, because He had said it. That's why He was there. because the Pharisees didn't want him a king, and they couldn't kill somebody who claimed to be king, because that would have been a revolutionary act, and that's why the Romans were there, to prevent civil war. They had been invited in to stop a civil war, and so they weren't appointing kings, they were deciding who was the best king, who had the most right to be king. First they thought it was Aristobulus, and then they decided it was Hyrcanus. But that was many years before. At another time, they decided it was Herod had the best claim to the throne. But you know what they decided now? They decided Jesus had the best claim to the throne. And his ambassadors, his apostles, were the princes of that kingdom. And they did disregard the decrees of Caesar because they had another king. But governments have jobs to do. And this is what the job of the church was, to provide the benefaction. You know, I used to go when I was being raised up. We'd go to something called, I think they call it benefaction. And you would go to this in the evenings, and they would go, and they'd say these prayers, blah, 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 blah. And they would, you know, raise up things, and everybody would bow their head and genuflect, and they call that benefaction. Benefaction is what they got when they went down to the welfare office, or when they sent their kids to public schools, and when they got health care, and when they collected Social Security. That's benefaction. That's the benefits of their government. Their church was just to make them feel good. They went to church to feel good, not be good. If they went to church to be good, they would go to church and say, anybody have any needs? Are there any widows here who are suffering for lack of care? Are there any people that have lost their jobs, and is there any children that need help with their education so that they grow up to be strong and moral people? I didn't go to public schools and all that stuff, but most people were by that time in American history. They didn't used to. Most people were taught by the finances. You know, I was just working on the school, helping fix it up. It's not used anymore as a school. It's an old school. And somebody came by and they say, so when did they build this? And we got to talking, and I pointed out, and I says, well, this was a public school, but it wasn't built by public funds. It was built by private school, private funds. Most public schools used to be built by private funds. The land was public land. It was built on that public land, donated by government at no expense to government. It was just set aside when they surveyed everything. But it was built by private funds because the idea had not yet caught on that it was okay to take from your neighbor to have what you want. That was still considered a sin in old America, just like it was a sin in the Old Testament and in the Testament of Christ. Coveting your neighbor's goods, according to Paul, was evil, and you shouldn't have anything to do with people who coveted their neighbor's goods. But somehow or other in this country, it became okay to covet your neighbor's goods as long as you did it through governments that exercised authority one over the other. Even though Jesus said it was not to be that way with you. Your church should be the benefactors who don't exercise authority, because it would require you to follow in the ways of Christ, which is to serve one another, love one another, care for one another, chemizo with one another, through faith, hope, and charity, and the perfect law of liberty. And if you were doing that, I would say you look like a Christian. But since you're not doing that, you don't look like a Christian to me. Very important. And we'll see this word cosmos, constitutional order, or system of government, show up again in Hebrews 10:5. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, cosmos, not into the age, not into the ecumene, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifice for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. And what is thy will? What is the will of God? That you love one another, that your sacrifices are not burnt up by flames, but burnt up to you. In other words, you give them freely and completely to take care of the needy of your society through choice, through free will offerings. If you're not doing that in your churches, then you're not his holy church. No matter what you say on your business card, no matter what it says out front, no matter what you want to believe, If you're not taking care of the needy in your congregation entirely by faith, hope, and charity, and helping your congregations not go to men who call themselves benefactors who will make them merchandise and surety for debt, then you're not His holy church. You're not following in the ways of Christ. You know, and we talked earlier in the last show about Noah being a righteous man. You're not righteous. And therefore, you will not receive the grace of God. And therefore, when you cry out, He will not hear you. You need to be going in that way. And it's a long ways from where you are today. So you've got a lot of repenting to do. But if you start back like the prodigal son, your father will run out and meet you halfway. And by grace, you will be saved. But if you don't start back, don't expect the grace of God or His salvation simply because you thought a thought. Hebrews 11:7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear and prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world. What world? The constitutional order and system of government of that day, which is giving and taking in marriage, and going in ways of Nimrod, of benefactors who exercise authority, not in the ways of righteousness. And he became an heir of the righteousness which is by faith. But that faith was a faith of doing. He didn't just sit back and think about building an ark, think about obeying God. He actually did it and was saved. Because that's what faith is. Faith is probity. Faith is actually a conviction that requires that you do something. I couldn't stop you from doing what you had faith in. If you are stumbling regularly, then you don't have faith yet. Because faith does not fail. That is evidence that you are not saved, is that you stumble. And bless God for showing you that, so that you may turn around and repent and continue to seek that faith and persevere in your striving towards that faith by doing the will of the Father. Because it's not enough to say. You have to be a doer. Hebrews 11:38, of whom the world was not worthy. The world what? Planet? No. Constitutional order and system of government. Why? Because they had gone the ways of socialism. They had gone the ways of coveting their neighbor's goods through men who exercised authority one over the other. They wandered in the desert and in the mountains and in the dens and the caves of the earth, out of the world, but they did not follow in the ways of Christ. Anyway, let's go on here in a moment to Hebrews 7, and we'll be right back.
My name is Mark and I'm from Melbourne in Australia, and I'm a minister in the church established by Jesus Christ more than 2,000 years ago. After reading the books published at hisholychurch.org, I realised that mainstream Christianity had taken a wrong turn by forgetting what Jesus said to do, to practice pure religion while remaining unspotted from the world. What does this mean and how is this done exactly? You'll find out when you go to hisholychurch.org and discover what it truly means to love God and your neighbour as much as yourself. Join the Living Network at hisholychurch.org.
The Creator is the God of the living, not the God of the dead. His kingdom was, is, and will be forever on earth as it is in heaven. Start by connecting and finding other kingdom-seeking families on the His Holy Church Living Network. Visit www.hisholychurch.org to start your journey back to your unalienable birthright.
I'm Brother Justice, and I'm a minister of His Holy Church of Sacramento, California. His Holy Church is a powerful weapon in the hands of God. The books, The Covenants of the Gods, and Thy Kingdom Come has changed the course of my life forever. For those of you who are truly looking for the way, I encourage you to look to His Holy Church at www.hisholychurch.org. May the good Lord bless you and keep you.
Hi, I'm Brent. I'm a contact minister for the Living Network in Northeast Missouri. You're not the only one out there with the desire to learn the truth. There are people all over the world coming together in faith, hope, and charity. Join us at one of the upcoming gatherings to meet new people, fellowship, work, and play. Whether it's the Fall Burning Bush Festival in Oregon or the Spring Gathering in Northeast Missouri, you'll get all the details when you join the Living Network. Go to hisholychurch.org and click on the network link. Find out what you've been missing. You'll be glad you did.
Okay, welcome back. In Hebrews 7, and of the angels he saith, who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of desire. His ministers a flame of desire. That actually doesn't sound that good, you know. But anyway, remember now when we read that word angels, everywhere you read that word angels, it actually means messenger. Now, it may mean spiritual angels. It may mean people. You can be an angel if you are a messenger of God. In other words, if God inspires you to bring a message, and I've seen this many times, where somebody all of a sudden they come to me and they give me something or say something, and it's almost like they're mesmerized or something. I see it when they come, that they're actually bringing me a message. And sometimes that, like, there's a story I always tell of someone who brought me a magazine, never did it before, never did it since. And in that magazine was information about somebody who had just called me hours before. And I wondered, who is that guy? What is he up to? And they bring me a magazine and handed it to me. And they said, I thought you would want to read this. And I thought that it was just bizarre how they brought me. I mean, they came from miles and miles away and they brought this magazine. And I picked it up and I looked at it after they left. And there was the guy who had called me on the phone, you know, about four or five pages in, and an article all about him. And it was a revelation as to who he was. Now I knew who he was and why he was coming and who was sending him. He thought he was being very secretive, very conspiratorial, you know, being sent by the powers that be. But the powers that be don't know that I work for the power that is. The power that has been before the foundations of the world. And so all their cloak and dagger and sneaking around didn't do them any good. I knew they were coming. I was forewarned by an angel, a messenger, who did not even understand the message they brought. If I told them that she gave me a message about the conspiracies coming from afar off, she wouldn't believe that. But she brought it just the same. And that tells me something. There are many people out there who are all caught up in the world and the lies and the deceptions of the world and the system of what we call Babylon. But something in their heart God finds grace in, and he uses them. Now, he can use evil people too, like the Pharaoh. He can harden his heart and make him do his will. But he can also use people that are so brainwashed that they cannot see the truth if you just show it to them. But yet, somehow or other, he sees a light that we cannot see and tells them, go do this little thing for me. Go take this magazine to Gregory, because he needs to read the article on page 5. And they do it, and they bring it. It's just amazing, astounding. They don't know that they're serving God, but they are. Now, be warned, for the devil doeth the same. The devil will send people to you as well, and they will bring you bad things, you know, like the witches in Macbeth. I told them all the things that were going to happen in a way that brought them about and brought his destruction about as well. Sounding like they were foretelling great things for this Macbeth, and they were actually predicting his destruction. And he was suckered into their soothsaying. And I see there are many people out there that are hearing things. I actually copied and pasted something I just read. Somebody sent me something. Let's see, I've got it right here. There you go. Humanity has now reached the big shift, critical mass, in quotes, of a new social conscience in our new global social network. And this is not only challenging dysfunction in core social, political, and economic institutions, but also compelling conscious uprisings of hope and faith and love, activism that instinctively and intuitively turns to the source of our peace and happiness. That's true. But the same big shift can apply to the evil side, the dark side. We have never been so socially unconscious. You know, like I said, 100 years ago, when they built the school, it was built mostly with private funds. It was funded mostly by the individuals who sent their children to that school. And even then, in those days, most kids were not educated in public schools. They were educated in either private or schools or at home or what have you. And we had a high degree of literacy. High degree. Huge. But today, our literacy is dropping rapidly. Well, they're playing with test scores and playing with a test so that you don't realize how dumbed down you have become. But where we have really come dumbed down is that we actually think it's okay to covet our neighbor's goods. We think it's okay to rule over our neighbor, over the next country, over the neighbor down the street, make them do what we want done. It's okay to elect men to exercise authority over one another. When that was called a rejection of God in Samuel, and he warned you that such men will take and take and take and take and take and take your sons and daughters, make instruments of war, and in the day that you finally cry out, I'm not even going to hear you because you've rejected me. And yet you have people out there saying they're Christians who are doing the exact same thing today and think that God will bless them. Collective unconsciousness, social unconsciousness. We are dysfunctional in the ways of the kingdom. We don't know how to take care of one another without electing some man who calls himself a benefactor, but simply will exercise authority one over the other. And we corrupt him with the power that we give him, because we know power corrupts, and we give him the power to do this, and we are surprised, generation after generation, of the results. What is it about the guy who keeps doing the same thing, expecting a different result? You're not going to get a different result. If you do what Samuel told you not to do, you're going to get the same results that Samuel said you were going to get. Write it down. Figure it out. So anyway, we're going to keep on going here with Hebrews, and we'll see if we can figure out what we should be doing. And we're going to need ministers of flame of fire. They need to be aflame with the Holy Spirit. That's a little hard to do. Apostles were walking with Jesus for years, eating and drinking and listening to everything he said and seeing the miracles, and they still didn't have the flame of fire until Pentecost. And what did they need to get that flame of fire? They needed to come into one accord with each other, but also one accord with that Holy Spirit. Can you come into one accord with the Holy Spirit and still harbor anger and harbor judgment and the arrogance of thinking, well, I see the truth and they are ignorant? Do you not know that you only see what truth you see by the grace of God? And without the grace of God, you see nothing. You do not want to lord it over your neighbor with your opinions of how smart and how wise you are and how foolish they are. For God could make sons of Abraham of those stone-headed people. You don't know anything except by the grace of God. You would be an absolute imbecile in the ways of God except by His grace. Remember that. Do not condemn anyone in your heart or in your imagination because they don't understand what you think you understand. It is not the ways of Christ. There will come a time when you rebuke them, but when you do, you should be at peace and not be angered up and rebuke them. You be guided in peace. But, verse 8, but unto the Son, he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever a scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Scepter, rod, it's that word you see as scepter is rod a number of times. It's also translated staff, but it is translated scepter a couple of times. And we see it here twice, scepter of thy kingdom. And this word righteousness, That's a very important word, and it's not always the same word. As a matter of fact, in this particular case, the word we see is righteousness. Only appears in Hebrews. It does, you know, we see the word righteousness in many other books of the Bible, but in of the New Testament, all from a Greek word, but not here. This is from a different Greek word that is only used in Hebrews. You'll see this over and over again in Hebrews. And it actually appears as the word, it comes from a word, uthus, which means straight. And we see that word in Matthew 3:3. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. That's the word, straight, uthus, which appears with a slight change in the syntax structure in Hebrews, only in Hebrews. So when we see that word there, righteousness, in that verse 8, when it talks about this scepter of righteousness, this straightness of righteousness, we're talking about that way. Make straight the way. Make righteous the way. And of course, the way of Christ is to live by faith, hope, and charity in the perfect law of liberty, and not live by forcing your neighbor, because until John the Baptist, everybody was trying to establish their government by force. And we're doing it again. And we need to repent of that. And we are so far behind the eight ball. We need to really start working on that in earnest. And that's why we have things like the festival and the livingnetwork.org, so that you join in. People are looking for a religion. I'm looking for a church that makes me feel good. Forget that. Look for a church that shows you the straight way, the scepter of his kingdom, the rod of his kingdom, the measuring rod of his kingdom. Are you taking care of everybody in your congregation by faith, hope, and charity? You show me the congregation that can do it. You might find a few Amish that are doing that, but that's about it. I see people starting to strive to do that, but we got a long ways to go. Verse 9, thou hast loved righteousness. Now there, see, we see the word righteousness right away in the next verse, but is it the same word? No. Is it some form of uthus? No. It's nothing like uthus. It's not even similar. It's actually from the word dikaios. Diokosune, I think, is the form that we have there. And it is translated righteousness. It is translated just. It is translated right. It's from this word dike, which means custom or usage. Custom and usage, what is that? Well, those are terms that are referencing law, natural law, custom and usage. In a broad sense, that particular word there that we see as righteousness is defined as the state of him who is as he ought to be. Not the state of him who is thinking as he ought to be, but the one who is as he ought to be. I suppose it depends on your definition of is, as some politicians would like to say, but you have to be righteous, straight in your ways, in your doings. Righteousness, the condition acceptable to God, not the guy who thinks about being right. In the narrow sense, justice, or the virtue which gives each his due. You don't want what you're owed right now. You want mercy. So if you want mercy, you better start giving mercy and stop taking from your neighbor, taking from your neighbor's children and grandchildren, because every benefit you take from the world is driving the children and grandchildren of your neighbor and yourself deeper and deeper into debt, because every nation is in debt. And you're cursing your children with that debt, with your covetousness. You see, I mean, I'm sorry, I can't bring you, I am bringing you glad tidings, because I am showing you the way that you can change the course of history for you and your family, like Noah changed the course of history for him and his family, by building an ark. Now, do I want you to go out and build a boat? No, I want you to build the ship that will sail you across the seas, the roaring seas of the world, as the world collapses. And that ark is built by faith, hope, and charity, by congregations that come together and form the planks of that ark that shall rise above the tumult of the world by the hand and grace of God, which you will not receive if you do not turn around and repent. So anyway, in that verse 9, we see, thou hast loved righteousness. that righteousness, the state that you ought to be, and hated iniquity. Yeah, God hates iniquity. He hates the Nicolaitans, the conquered people. Conquered by what? Conquered by their greed. Conquered by their lust for reward. The people who commit the error of Balaam. Conquered people again. Balaam meaning conquered people. He hates to see you conquered. He will give his son that ye might be saved. But you have to repent. Turn around and start forgiving one another. Stop taking from your neighbor through the agency of anyone. Now, I don't want you to starve to death. I want you to seek. You may still have to be in the system while seeking the righteous ways. Be friends with the unrighteous mammon while you are seeking the righteous mammon, so that you will be suitable for more righteous habitations. I know lots of people want to get out of the system because they feel the sting of it. Well, that's not the righteous way. The righteous way is to pay your tally of bricks, but start building that alternative system based on faith, hope, and charity. That other form of government that Hebrews is talking about, where it says, therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows, sharing in partaking. That's what he means. Gladness above thy fellows, sharing and partaking in each other's burdens, in caring for one another, in free will offerings of love, to a network of charity, whereby ye are bound together in faith, a faith that requires that you do according to the ways of Christ and follow in the ways of Christ, according to his image and person, his character of service one to another. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundations of the earth. Remember, we saw before the foundations of the world. Now we're talking about the foundations of the earth. And the heavens are the works of thy hands. Okay, now he says that you have to, almost nowhere in the Bible is the word world and earth synonymous. You might be able to say that with words like ekomene, but this word here, foundation, to make stable, to settle, to lay a foundation. From the beginning, this was God's plan. He didn't change his plan with Jesus. Moses and Jesus were in agreement. That's why we see in the New Testament Moses and Jesus together. Pharisees and Jesus were not in agreement. That's because what we're told by the Pharisees that Moses said in the Old Testament is a lie. The Pharisees had the interpretation of the Hebrew language falsified and distorted and twisted. And we talk about this in many places and show you exactly how they did it. But if you think that God was telling Moses to tell people to pile up stones, set sheep on them, set those sheep on fire, and then I will be happy, 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 you are under the delusion of the Pharisees, because that's not what that was all about. Not at all what that was about. And men at the time of Jesus Christ, by the thousands and thousands, knew this all over Judea, all over the Roman Empire, and preached it so. But you don't hear that today because that information was oppressed and suppressed. But that's what the early Christians understood. Modern Christians don't understand that. They look at the Old Testament and they think, oh, well, they were doing this, it was an archetype and all that baloney. It's not. That's not what it was about. They shall perish, but thou remainest. They all shall wax old as doth a garment. And as of vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same. Thy years shall not fail. Now he's not talking necessarily to you. He's talking about the faithful. Shall be changed. What does that mean? Shall be changed. That's a particular word. Shows up, you know, half a dozen times. To change, to exchange one thing for another. To transform. We need to be transformed, or else we will be transformed as the world is transformed. We will go its way. We need to be on another path, another way that will not collapse, will not fail. And that is the way of Christ. And then that is the way of service. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? We have to be on the right side of things. We have to be found walking the straight way, which is a way that operates by faith, hope, and charity. of service one to another, of sacrifice of oneself for the love of another. This is the character. This is the image of the person of Christ. You cannot be a Christian on Sunday or Sabbath, a follower of Christ on Sunday and Sabbath, and the rest of the week follow after the ways of Nimrod, of Babylon, of Cain, of Lamech, and seek and pray to the men who call themselves benefactors who exercise authority, and make the fathers of the earth our fathers, as we no longer honor our own fathers and care and take for care of our own fathers and mothers. We don't do that. We use the Corban of the temple to take care of our fathers. We call it Social Security. That's what Corban of the Pharisees was. It was a system of Social Security set up by Herod, put into place by Herod. You signed up with baptism, believe it or not, and you became registered. You know, you became this idios, which we talked about before. And, you know, and this is why I say our Christian's idiot. Go read that article and it'll explain it to you. Our Christian's idiotis is really what I'm saying. And that was the Corban of the Pharisees. It was identical to your modern-day Social Security systems in Canada and England and Australia and South America, wherever. All these socialist systems. Where men who call themselves benefactors collect from your neighbor to make sure that you have enough. Unfortunately, they're all bankrupt. All bankrupt. Every system of that nature is bankrupt. And they are dependent upon taking away from your children and your grandchildren to provide you with benefits today. What you paid in is all gone, all spent, all rusted away. All gone. All gone. And if you take one benefit, you're taking from your children. So why not just go to your children and say, can you care for me? I don't want to put my neighbor's children into debt, but I will let my own children care for me and provide for me. But I won't go collect Social Security because there isn't anything there to collect. It's gone. Go read our article on not so secure Social Security. It tells you it's all gone. I don't care what they tell you on Fox News. It's all gone. You're in debt. If you take anything from that so-called fund, you're taking from the future of your children. That's called cursing your children. The Bible talks about that. So are they not all ministering spirits? He's talking here in verse 14 of this chapter. Sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. You want to be heir of salvation? You need to be a ministering spirit. Yeah. You need to take care of one another. You know what that word ministering is? That's the word that you get from liturgy. That's right. Liturgy means service. Liturgikos. Ministering. Appears once in Hebrews. Once in the whole Bible. Relating to the performance of service employed in ministering. What is religion? Today we think religion is what you think about the Supreme Being. Your eschatology concerning Christ and the Trinity and all that stuff. That's not what religion was. Not what it was at the time of Christ. Not what it was 200 years ago. Religion was the performance, and remember, liturgy is performance of service. Performance of your duty and service to God and your fellow man. To your fellow man. Take care of the needy of your society through faith, hope, and charity in a righteous way, a straight way that is in accordance to the image of the person of Christ, the character of Christ, the service of Christ, the faithfulness of Christ, the charity of Christ, the love of Christ. Every time you see, Christ never mentions charity. But he mentions it all the time. They just never translate it charity when Christ says it. They always translate it love when Christ says it. If Paul says it, they translate it charity. But if Christ says it, they translate it love. Same word. Because you don't love your neighbor as yourself unless you're supplying them with the needs of their social welfare by charity alone. Unless you're doing that, you're not following the way of Christ. You're not His holy church. You are an apostasy. You are a liar. And you are under a strong delusion. And you are taking the name of the Lord in vain. And as many as I love, I also rebuke. And that is why I tell you this. I am not trying to put you down. I'm trying to raise you up out of your doldrums so that you repent and make straight the way of the Lord. So you need to get together with other people that are trying to learn this. And if you find some, help us find them too. Let's all get together and start making straight the way of the Lord. Let's come together in the name and character and image of the person of Christ. Let's come together and transform this world by allowing God to transform us, to show us our selfishness, and bring us into a state that we ought to be, a righteous state. We cannot do it on our own. God must do it working through each individual as we seek to serve one another, because Christ said so. Are you ready for that? Can you do that? Do you want to do that? This is the purpose of Tabernacles, is so that you shore up that network that does that in times of need. You could have lived next to Fukushima. Where would you live today if you lived next to Fukushima? I'm sure the government would relocate you, but that's the government that exercises authority one over the other and calls itself a benefactor. Would the church relocate you? Are they capable of relocating you? Are they flexing the muscles of charity? Love and charity is power and force. Not force in the sense of violence, but force in the sense of strength. See, that's the thing about words. It's all sophistry. In what sense do we use this word? Because we don't, the church does not operate by force, but it does operate by power. And in the Greek, we would see the word dunamis, by its nature, because its nature is the nature of Christ. But the churches you see out there, they have a form of godliness, but they do not have the nature of Christ. They deny the power thereof, the dunamis thereof. They are not taking care of the needy of their society. They send most of the needy of their society to the men who exercise authority, one over the other. Yet they say they are a church. And they are actually corporations of Caesar, corporations of Nimrod. And people say, oh, well, all we have to do is unincorporate our church, or fix that corporation charter, or whatever they try to do, become an unregistered church or whatever, and then we will be okay. Nonsense. Why should I show you how to be a free church if you will not show me that you are willing to do what Christ said? Because it doesn't matter if you incorporate or don't incorporate. If you are not becoming a part of the body of Christ, and you are not a part of the body of Christ, you are not taking care of all the needy of your church through faith, hope, and charity. And if you're buying a big screen TV instead of taking care of the widows and orphans, then woe unto you. Woe unto you. I don't want to be in your sandals when the Lord comes, because he's going to say, get ye from me, ye workers of iniquity. I know you not. I want you to know the Lord. I want you to follow in the Lord's ways and find out how much you don't know the Lord, and let the Lord come into your heart so that you begin to understand the Lord. And awaken and awaken and awaken until you are awake in the Lord. And you cannot do that unless you do what the Lord is telling you to do. If he gives you 3 denarii and you do nothing with them, if he gives you 2 denarii and you do nothing with them, if he gives you 1 denarii and you do nothing with it, expect it to be taken away from you. But if you do something with it, if you seek and strive and persevere, you will not be righteous. God will, by grace, count it as righteousness. If you just say, Lord, Lord, woe unto you. So, I call you all to repentance and the ways of God and the ways of the Lord. And we're going to bring this show to an end. We will have another show in about half an hour where people can call in. And you can find out more about that at hisholychurch.org. It'll be on a blog talk. And then later on in the day, we're going to have other gatherings by phone conferences to learn a lot of the technicalities of the ways of the kingdom, so that we may learn to live in the world, but not of the world. And until then, may peace be upon your house, and may the Lord be with you. God bless.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.